The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. We're beginning a new series today on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. To lead us in this study, I'd like to introduce Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University. He's entitled this series, Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to our study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I like to call this study, Living in the Power of the Spirit. We never really want to look at the Scriptures and any subject in the Scriptures without thinking of it in terms of how it is to affect our lives, the way we live. I think there's an important question to pose right at the beginning of a study about a doctrine like this, and that is it really right to give so much attention to the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you remember reading in John 16, 13b, the words of the Lord Jesus. He says there, "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." This verse is a reference to the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. It says there in that verse that he shall not speak of himself, but of what he hears, and he will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14 states in that same chapter in the opening words. He will not glorify himself. Are we then glorifying the Holy Spirit? Are we then speaking too much about him instead of Christ when we speak of him? Well, a close look at that verse of Scripture in John 16, 13b means this. When it says he shall not speak of himself, it means he will not speak on his own initiative. He will not say things which he alone wants to say, but those things which Christ prompts him to say. Those things which do glorify the Lord. We also know that we're told as Christian people to study the Scriptures, to show ourselves approved workmen unto God. And certainly, the Holy Spirit of God is a major topic in the Word of God. In fact, if you look into the Old Testament, the term ruach, the Hebrew word for spirit or wind, occurs nearly 378 times. In the New Testament, the word pneuma, which is also the word for wind or spirit, occurs almost exactly the same number of times. 379 times approximately. Now, not every one of those occurrences has to do with the Holy Spirit, but many, many of those occurrences do. So clearly, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is a major topic in the Scriptures. And we learn, too, from the Bible, that the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the teachings about the Holy Spirit, are essential, really, for the Christian life. In John the Baptist's life and ministry, the Spirit of God was evident in power. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he told when the request came to him, if in fact he was the Christ as John sent to him from prison, Jesus said that he did his work in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're told that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil by the Holy Spirit. The apostles were commanded of the Lord to wait in Jerusalem until the sending of the Spirit to come upon them in power for witness. As believers, we are told to trust in the strengthening ministry of the Spirit, to exercise the special capacities for service that the Holy Spirit gives us. It's also important for us to think about the teaching of the Scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit because It is such a debatable and somewhat confusing topic today. By some estimates, there are nearly 20 million Americans, often called as a group charismatics, that believe in certain manifestations and powers that the Holy Spirit gives that the Scriptures actually don't teach. But how can we prove that the Scriptures do teach a limitation of the Spirit's powers in this era? What does the Scripture say about spiritual gifts and the moving and working of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's a crucial topic. It's a relevant and present topic. It's a topic that we need to consider in the present. Now, with those thoughts in mind, I'd like us to begin our study of living in the power of the Spirit by turning to John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. This is a vital passage on the sending of the Holy Spirit to believers. These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to that passage now, and let's consider those verses together. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'll begin some commenting on each of the sections of this passage of Scripture. John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. Jesus said, "But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. This was not the first time that the Lord Jesus had said something about the Holy Spirit of God. Back in John chapter 7 and verses 38 and 39, on the last day of the great Feast of Tabernacles, the Lord Jesus stood and encouraged men to come unto him and to drink. And he said that they would then have rivers of water flowing out of them to refresh other people. And those verses tell us that he was referring to the Holy Spirit. Certainly the disciples knew of the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the judges of the Old Testament, sometimes on the kings, and the prophets of the Old Testament, certainly, as they were inspired to write Scripture and often perform wondrous acts. But what Jesus is predicting in this passage is that a change is going to occur in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the future. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament era indwelt some believers for special ministries, as I've mentioned, the prophets, the kings, the judges. But the Spirit was not permanently indwelling all believers in that era. This was a promise that was yet to be fulfilled in the lives of the believers during the church era. This passage, as we consider an overview of it, can, I think, be broken down this way about the sending of the Spirit. Verses 5 through 7 discuss the Spirit's presence as solving the problem of Christ's absence. Verses 8 through 11 discuss the Spirit's ministry through the believer to the world. And then verses 12 through 15 present the Spirit's ministry of instruction to the believer. Now consider with me verses 5 through 7. Jesus said in those verses, But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. The potential absence of Christ would naturally cause sorrow in the hearts of the disciples because they walked with him and lived with him during his incarnate ministry while he ministered to people in Palestine. They hadn't even thought about where Jesus was going and what the result would be when he did go. They failed to realize that the Lord Jesus would not forsake them, and their hearts were filled with sorrow, or controlled by sorrow. But we learn from verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. This verse teaches that the sending of the Holy Spirit was somehow dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ ascending back to heaven to the right hand of the Father. The continued presence of Christ in the world, it seems from this verse, actually would have prevented the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you may have thought before, as a Christian, wouldn't it have been great to live when Jesus lived? To walk with him, to talk with him, to be in his presence and to see his miracles? Certainly that would have been a wonderful thing. But as believers, we have a great benefit in the Holy Spirit of God dwelling right within us. We don't have a lesser privilege, really. We're told, in fact, in this verse of Scripture, that he is the Comforter that will come. When the Lord Jesus departs, he will send this Comforter. The term Comforter is the term parakletos in the New Testament. It could be rendered helper. It means one who pleads another's cause or counsels someone, helps them, assists them. The Spirit of God is in us, in our very hearts, in our thinking, in our emotions, in our will to assist us and help us with the decisions we have to make, the things we have to reason through, to help us govern our feelings. And this is a benefit that every believer enjoys. Christ is presented as the one who will send the Holy Spirit to us. We learn from John 15:26 that he and the Father will send the Spirit. That verse says, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What a blessing that Christ is concerned for us and is willing to send his Spirit into our hearts to help us every day.
We want to thank Mr. Steve Hankins, Professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, for today's introduction to the study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no better way to find out what Bob Jones University has to offer than to come see for yourself. Talk to our students. Confer with members of the faculty. But if you can't visit, call 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Ask for a personal opportunity profile. In South Carolina, it's 242-5100. You won't want to miss a single broadcast in this new series, so make a note of this time Monday through Friday. The Bible Institute of the Air is a presentation of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.